Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Brian Koberger is our topic of discussion on this segment. We're talking with the psychologist Dr. John Delatorre about it. A lot of delay tactics, stall tactics, all those sort of things seemingly being employed by the defense right now to buy more time to figure out what on earth they're going to be arguing on the behalf of Koberger. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, this is all part of trial tactics. This is the stuff that you don't see on television. This is the stuff that isn't included in true crime docuseries or podcasts or anything like that. This is the part of the process that I think a lot of people don't quite understand, which is, yes, there is a constitutional right to a speedy trial, but if you're the defendant, I don't want a speedy trial. I want it to take as long as it can take, right? I want to make sure that the prosecution has crossed all of its T's and dot all of its I's. I'm making sure that I'm working them, right? Mm-hmm. If they have the burden, then they have to put in the work, and I want to see all of it. So whatever my lawyer has to do to grind this thing to a halt, flimsy alibis and other stuff notwithstanding, whatever it is that they need to do in order to get themselves prepared, then they need to do it. And I'm willing to sacrifice some time in getting this going to ensure that the prosecution has made this case.
How do you feel about some of the points that the defense has been throwing out there seemingly to a potential jury pool? Obviously, Moscow is where it's going to happen. Small community. Everybody's hearing the claims that they're throwing out there, but they seem to almost be trying to play to them prior to the trial actually starting. One of the experts that they've brought in, Dr. Leah Larkin, echoing the concerns of the defense that the genetic genealogy is not perfect. And with any of this, there is a room for error. But when you actually look at the room for error on some of these studies that have been done and some of the tests that have been done, it's insanely rare. 5.37 octillion times when we're talking about the DNA. It's more likely to be the defendant than any one random person selected in the general population. Are they being effective by putting out terms like phantom matches and things of that nature to sow doubt in things that really don't have a lot of room for it other than just on the surface?
I think so. And I think whether or not it's actually working is another question. The problem that we have with juries nowadays is that they've all grown up watching CSI. They've all grown up with this idea that if there is direct physical blood, DNA, right, saliva, other bodily fluid, like if it's there, then it automatically means that whoever it matches to, that's your guy. And the reality is that's not necessarily the case. And so usually attorneys will say that there isn't much direct evidence, and there normally isn't. But I think this is a different tact because now they're saying, well, listen, the science isn't quite there. So if you sow even one, if you sow even one seed of doubt in one person, that's all you really need. And ultimately, I think what they're trying to do is just try to save his life, right? Mm-hmm. Just do what they can to get him to, maybe they're anticipating finding guilt, but just get the lowest amount of punishment that they can.
Get that off the table, no matter what they have to do. Let me ask you this, because we haven't heard directly from Koberger himself at all, really, through any of this, other than the few hearings that he said yes and no or stayed silent at. He does seem to exhibit, you know, this belief that he's going to be exonerated, that he didn't do this. Is there any chance, have you ever dealt with a case or heard of a case of cognitive dissonance where they were there in some way, maybe dissociative is more the right word for it, where maybe he was out driving, maybe he went and committed this crime, but has no recollection of actually committing it because he got so into that mission that he'd been planning allegedly and then went on? That's just a big blank memory. He remembers driving in that area and driving home at night. Maybe he doesn't have the memories of committing the heinousness of the crime. Is that even a thing?
I can't see it because okay. Let's say he is on this mission. Well, how are you going to know that you've actually completed the mission if you don't have any recollection of it? So I don't believe that he's forgotten. I don't believe that he is in some kind of psychological state in which he has somehow repressed that memory. Whoever did this most likely enjoyed doing it and most likely has a fond recollection. If there's nothing, and again, we don't know all the evidence, but if nothing was taken as a sort of pseudo trophy, if no physical object was taken, then the only thing that's there that can be used to remember and relive the event are the memories. And there's nothing to suggest that this was the idea that, oh, I just want to kill these people and then I'm going to forget. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really seem to ring true. If he did this, he can recall it. But what incentive does he have to tell anybody that he can recall it? None. Yeah. Right? So he's just going to sit there and be quiet because that's what the law allows him to do.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.